Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Podcast 862B, listening to you, the Owner's Manual Podcast. Thanks for listening and tuning in. We have a wonderful set of two guests for you. They work together at UCLA on a very tough topic. It's actually the one that Steve Jobs died from, but it is the new therapies for pancreatic cancer. And these two actually together are doing research in it, but also have some of the best, if not the best, clinical published results on pancreatic cancer. And they're talking about a new way of treating it. Dr. Timothy Donahue is a surgeon, associate professor at UCLA, and he has teamed with Dr. Juan Meng, who is a nanobiology or nanochemistry expert, who are both interested in the same problem and in this unique combination that we're seeing, beginning to see more and more of someone in the chemistry and basic science world teamed with a clinician. That's what they do probably better than others. So thanks very much for coming on. First, let's talk about something, the biology of pancreatic cancer. I guess this goes to you, Dr. Donahue. It's not a very survivable cancer as it is right now. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. You know, pancreas cancer recently became the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States. So it's not only a not survivable disease for the most part, but it also is a very prevalent disease and a large disease burden on our country.
Why is it increasing so much? In other words, when I went to medical school, we used to think of it as, that's a long time ago, by the way. But we used to think
good
of
question.
This as...
answer, not exactly known. The main risk factors for pancreatic cancer, environmental risk factors, are smoking and drinking. And I don't think people are smoking and drinking alcohol more than they used to. But it's thought that the increasing incidence is due to the increase in obesity in the country. If you look at kind of the trends of the obesity epidemic, the incidence of pancreatic cancer parallels the prevalence of obesity going up. So it's thought that high-fat diet, more intra-abdominal obesity, adipose tissue, and or the inflammation that induces is not necessarily good for the pancreas and potentially the explanation for why the incidence is going up.
Juan, Dr. Meng, let me switch now to you for a second. You got interested in nanobiology. Why?
Well, you know, I think the beauty of nanotechnology is being multifunctional. So you can basically design and engineer nanoparticles to do multiple things. So back to this pancreatic cancer, a specific scenario, Tim already mentioned that pancreatic cancer is so difficult to treat, partially because of there's a dense tissue around the tumor cells, also known as cancer stroma. So it basically serves as an important physical and functional barrier preventing drug delivery. So given this background, I'm thinking using a nanotechnology-mediated solution, i.e. to design a nanocarrier to more specifically deliver the cancer drug, for example, chemotherapy, to the cancer site. So that's why we begin this collaboration about 4 years ago. So it turns out the outcome is quite fruitful.
So now the nanotechnology allows you to get to much smaller areas, I assume, as well. Is part of this, is there a role for earlier diagnosis? In other words, one of the things that is, as I understand it, so difficult with this disease is that you don't find out about it till pretty late in the stages of it. Yeah. Is that true, or is there some nanotechnology particles that are picked up by the tumor that can show in some way easier or diagnose it easier as well?
Yes. Well, the nanotechnology is widely studied for pancreatic cancer diagnosis. You know, there's multiple approaches. Number one, you can design a small nanoparticle probe to find the tumor cells with higher binding affinity. You can basically put different tumor antigen on your nanoparticle surface. And you can put, for example, a radio labeling probe to find the tumor cells. This is the first popular approach. The second popular approach is actually to look at, there's a small cell population called circulating cancer cells in the blood, which has been shown to predict the presence of pancreatic cancer. So you can use a nanotechnology-mediated method to more accurately monitor the so-called CTC, or circulating tumor cells, in vitro. And the third popular approach is to design a so-called nanotherapeutic, nanotheranostic systems, which means you can not only deliver things, you can also put a small imaging probe on the nanoparticle surface. You can, as a result, to monitor the therapeutic efficacy using a single nanoparticle simultaneously. So there's many different approaches.
Wait a second. Now, this is fascinating to me because I've not heard of this at all.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, you're putting a camera on the nanoparticle in some way. Is that correct?
Yes. Like, I can give you an example. So people have demonstrated that if you put an iron oxide nanoparticle inside a carrier, and the outcome is you can not only use this carrier to deliver, say, chemotherapeutics, you can also use a MRI imaging system to monitor where the particle goes. So this is quite an attractive approach. I mean, in the future, you know, you can basically monitor your therapeutic outcome in addition to the imaging modality.
So let's go back to where we are now and where you expect us to be in 5 years and 10 years, Dr. Donahue. What is the current presentation? How do people find out, or how does someone learn they've got pancreatic cancer? And what's the current approach? And let's speculate on what the approach might be in, say, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, right. So the pancreas is located in the upper abdomen, and it runs transversely across the abdomen. So it's a long organ that goes from the kind of the right upper quadrant of the abdomen to the left upper quadrant of the abdomen. Patients present differently depending on where their tumors form. So tumors that form in the head of the pancreas on the right side. Patients usually present with jaundice. They become jaundiced because the bile duct that drains the bile from the liver runs through the head of the pancreas. So tumors there can block it or externally compress or obstruct it.
Let me just clarify. So jaundice means they look awful yellow eyes, and the head of the pancreas is the where some of the ducts run through, and that's underneath the liver, closer to the right side of your abdomen.
Correct. So, you know, the buzzword that's taught in medical school about pancreatic cancer is painless jaundice, right? So it's a tumor in the head of the pancreas that blocks or obstructs that bile duct and causes patients to become jaundiced. Cancers that occur in the body or tail of the pancreas, which are on the left side of the abdomen, so the other side of the organ, usually present much later because there aren't those structures in that vicinity that become blocked. So oftentimes, folks don't know that they have them until they grow quite large and or have spread elsewhere. So unfortunately, most patients at that point are, you know, present with marked weight loss or, you know, issues digesting food. And the tumor is notoriously tumors in the tail of the pancreas or body of the pancreas present at later stages because there isn't that the bile duct and the jaundice like tumors in the head.
And
the,
now
the issue with diagnosis now or early diagnosis is that with our conventional CT scans or MRIs, they cannot detect with high resolution or can't detect precursor or precancerous lesions in the pancreas. So if you think of those akin to like colon polyps that people or are identified on a colonoscopy, there's no way to identify those in the pancreas with a conventional CT scan or MRI. Even early stage cancers in the pancreas are difficult to see with CT scans or MRIs. The alternative approach is a tumor marker in the blood or a screening tumor marker. The hallmark of that you think of is with prostate cancer, PSA, or prostate-specific antigen. Unfortunately, for pancreatic cancer, there's not a very good accurate tumor marker also to be able to detect either late-stage precancerous or early-stage cancerous lesions. The one that's most commonly used is the CA19-9 marker, which is okay, but 10% of patients don't make it, and it also can be elevated for other non-cancerous lesions like inflammation in that area or gallstones causing inflammation, so it's not necessarily specific to pancreatic cancer. So unfortunately, right now, there isn't a good accurate tumor marker, and our imaging modalities or techniques are not good at detecting or identifying early stage cancers.
So
where we're going
ahead.
In the future, there's a tremendous amount of work on people trying to find that tumor marker that can be detected in the blood, whether that be a protein or a free circulating segment of DNA, or a circulating tumor cell like Dr. Meng talked about. So a lot of research and work going into trying to identify a better tumor marker that can be peripherally, just detected from blood that's drawn peripherally. Alternatively, in addition to that, as kind of a companion for better diagnosis, we're going to need some better imaging modalities. And the conventional IV contrast that you get with a CT scan or IV contrast that you get with an MRI are probably not going to do the trick. And you need some other technology like the nanoparticles that he's talking about, which can be coupled with the imaging and have, better detection or identification of cancer. So in brief, better tumor markers, whether that be protein, DNA, circulating tumor cells, and also better agents to couple with our imaging to be able to more better discriminate tumors or early-stage lesions.
More with Dr. Michael Roizen coming up. We all know green juice is good for us, but have any of you tried juicing? Not only does it cost a fortune if you're shopping organic, but it is also time-consuming and messy, and you've got to deal with all that cleanup. That's why I opt for Organifi Green Juice. It's an organic superfood green juice powder that you just add water and get your greens on the go. It helps me sustain energy throughout the day, and it helps me crush my to-do list. And it actually tastes good, and it's not just any green juice. It's organic and upgraded with 11 superfoods. Try out Organifi Green Juice for yourself and get 20% off using the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, at checkout at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Go there now to save 20%. That's Organifi.com. And You, the Owner's Manual podcast is also brought to you by Molecule Air Pure. purifiers? Do you have long-standing allergy and/or asthma problems? Do you want to breathe easier and reduce your allergy and asthma symptoms? Tired of breathing aids that just don't work? Then let me introduce you to Molecule Air Purifiers. Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at the molecular level. What does this mean? Molecule erases the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch, so you can breathe easier and experience the life-changing effects of clean air. In fact, one customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. So get Molecule and breathe easy. Order now and use code YOU, that's Y-O-U, for $75 off your first order. Visit Molecule.com, that's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com, and use the code YOU, Y-O-U, to save $75. That's Molecule.com. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen.
Now the therapy, and as I understand from the notes I have on this, is the therapy is you try and remove this as much as possible, that is the tumor, and in addition to trying to remove it, there is radiation and chemotherapy, and I understand that in your practice, radiation and chemotherapy before surgical removal is a standard and one of the reasons you get such excellent results or better outcomes. Is that true?
So if you take all patients who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, so surgery only helps in this disease if all the cancer can be removed and the margin's negative. And only about a third or a little bit more, about a third of the patients at the time of diagnosis have tumors that are of the size where that they can be all removed and have the margins be negative. The problem with the pancreas is it's located right next to many very essential blood vessels that supply the entire intestine or drain the intestine, and their removal without a reconstruction is essentially incompatible with life. So only about a third of patients can have their tumors completely removed, and they don't involve these local blood vessels at the time of diagnosis. Another third of patients have tumors that have just grown too large locally to involve the surrounding structures, including those blood vessels, and require treatment with chemotherapy or radiation therapy first before surgery, with an attempt to shrink them away from the vessels, or at least some of them, such that the surgery isn't as complex or potentially dangerous. And then finally, about a third of patients at the time of presentation have disease that spread from the pancreas to other organs, and for the most part, they are not candidates for surgery because, as I said, the way that surgery helps is if the tumors can be removed and have the margins be negative. Fortunately, more and more patients who present in that middle group who have, you know, just locally grown tumors are being a downstage, so to speak. Their tumors are being shrunk with preoperative treatment and are eventually able to undergo a potentially curative operation.
So that, and that is, as I understand, one of the things you specialize in. And so that's where the state of the art is currently, that we still don't get what would be called spectacular outcomes, meaning we still don't get curative outcomes in the vast majority of patients because of the location of the tumor and the I guess, delay because of the difficulty in diagnosing it because of the structure involved and the lack of a peripheral blood antigen or peripheral blood detection being easy. Where do you expect this to be? And I'm going to ask Dr. Meng this as well. Where do you expect this to be in 5 and 10 years? Do you expect we will have had a breakthrough, or what? And what will that breakthrough be in your best guess?
Well, I'll let Dr. Meng speak in just a second, but I do think that we will continue to make incremental progress. The 5-year survival rate for pancreatic cancer is still certainly less than 10% for all patients who are diagnosed with it. The patients who undergo an operation, the 5-year survival rate is about 20 to 30% in most areas. So surgery does help some. As you alluded to, the problems with this disease are that it's currently diagnosed in its later stages because symptoms really developed and it's not detected. One, and two, the treatments for the most part to date are the conventional cytotoxic chemotherapies that you hear of haven't been particularly effective for pancreatic cancer. Over the last 5 or 10 years, there has been a lot of progress. There have been 2 or 3 new drugs that have been FDA approved for pancreatic cancer. If you look before that, so say prior to 7 or 8 years ago, it was almost 20 years before between when a new drug was FDA approved. So somewhat considered the dark ages. So we are making progress. There are more drugs that have been shown to be more effective that are being approved. But I think that where we're going to make the next step and improvements in the future are approaches like what Dr. Meng is doing to develop these nanocarriers, nanoparticles that will more effectively deliver drugs inside these tumors that are hard to penetrate with just traditional standard drugs. That's why I started to work with him. That's why we have such a great working relationship together. Because it's a great team. It's a great combination. I see and treat a bunch of patients with pancreas cancer. I know what their unmet needs are. I know what the gaps in our current therapeutic or treatment armamentarium are. And he's got the brains and the ability to be able to take these down to fundamental components and figure out how better to deliver drugs in these tumors with his very unique nanocarrier platform.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth a while to look at the trajectory of pancreatic cancer therapy development. Dr. Donahue already mentioned that 20 years ago gemcitabine was approved as a monotherapy. The effectiveness of this chemotherapy is only 9%. And in early 2000, there's a 4-drug combination called FOLFIRINOX. And although the effectiveness of this combination is 30%, but it's too toxic to be given for the majority of pancreatic cancer. And in the next about 15 or 20 years, there's no new therapy for this nasty disease until nanotechnology start making impact. Dr. Donahue mentioned there's 2 additional drugs that was approved in the past 2 years. They're all nanomedicine. The first one is a paclitaxel albumin nanocomplex, which can combine with gemcitabine to improve its efficacy. The secondary nanomedicine is a liposomal formulation for a very toxic but highly potent chemotherapy called irinotecan. And the idea is to reduce its toxicity while maintain its potency. So as a result, I foresee nanotechnology will keep making continuous impact in the next 10 years. There's a lot of things that we can do in the future. Number one is we continue to improve the efficacy with a view to reduce its side effects. That we can make the current chemotherapy more make it safer. And number two is we can think about nano-enabled combination therapy with a view to maximize the so-called in vivo efficacy and synergy. And recently, nanotechnology start making new impact in the domain of immunotherapy. In fact, some of our research also demonstrate that nanoparticle can be quite useful to invoke the intrinsic immune response to further improve the efficacy. So in summary, there's a lot of things that we can do. So hopefully in the next few years, we can sort of put our technology into a clinical study.
Now, how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or if they want to refer someone?
So if they want to refer someone clinically, we have a dedicated pancreatic cancer center here. We have multidisciplinary...
And here we should say is UCLA in Los Angeles, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, UCLA in Los Angeles, in Westwood at the Ronald Reagan Hospital, right? So we have a dedicated staff and multiple physicians from all different disciplines seeing and treating patients with pancreas cancer together. We love each other, we love to work together, and we do so very, very closely to make our patient experiences as good as possible. The phone number for our clinic is 310-206-6889, 310-206-6889, and we'd be more than happy to see and welcome anyone to the clinic and can assure them that we are treating patients with the most state-of-the-art, highly innovative approaches for this disease.
And is that also the way they would get in touch with someone if they wanted to learn more and perhaps get involved or donate towards the research?
Well, you know, currently both Tim and I, we are involved in JCCC, Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center. We have a website. You know, definitely you can approach us through JCCC. I personally also involved in California Nanosystem Institute, in which there's a nanomedicine program. So I play a very important role there. So there are multiple approaches to contact us. If you Google our names, you can find multiple kids.
And we should say the names are Dr. and Timothy Donahue, Donahue, and Dr. Meng is Dr. is Dr. for Dr. Huanmeng.
True,
and they're both. And they're both at JCCC, J with three C's, Cancer Nanotechnology Program, and at UCLA.
Yes.
Is that correct? Did I get it right?
Yes, right, Dr. Royson.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll be back in next week with another new show, new news of the week, new guest. And it should be fun. I think we'll be talking next week about the ethics of transracial adoption, a fascinating topic called Beyond Trans is a book. But for today, this is Dr. Royson, and you've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Huan Meng and Dr. Timothy Donahue from UCLA, giving you the latest update on pancreatic cancer. Thanks for listening.